Okay, so today, godly womanhood, part two. Okay, three things that we want to see, three lessons, real beauty products, biblical precedent, and without fear. Okay, three lessons. So the first lesson, real beauty products. I'm going to be really honest. I am a recovering Pharisee. I am very good at being legalistic. I want to hold up a standard of holiness, not to myself because I can never measure up, but I like to use it, take this standard and measure it to everybody that I meet. And sometimes, if I don't think you're holy enough, I don't even need to whip out my ruler. I will just make a guess. This person doesn't measure up. Okay. That was who I am. I am now a recovering Pharisee. And I imagine probably Paul would feel the same way. Okay. Paul was a professional Pharisee. Like, he was really good at it, you know. And it took Jesus, you know, punch him in the face a little bit. Like, literally punched him in the face, knocked him off a horse, you know. Got blind. Okay, thank God I didn't have to do all that. You know what I mean? But Paul, you know, went through that. Like, he, you know, when you're a Pharisee and you're good at it, you know, it takes a miracle of God to kind of get out of it for you to change your heart. I want to start off with that shocking revelation. For those people who know me a long time, that's not a shocking revelation. For those you guys, maybe it is. Okay, because I'm so gracious and loving now, right? But I used to, like, hate people. It's, like, weird, right? I don't know. Anyway, and just because I used to be a Pharisee, and I was very legalistic, right? I would be offended if the students in the youth group would bring boyfriends, you know? We had sport. We had a sport called Let's Scare the Boyfriends, where if a female student was foolish enough to bring a boyfriend, we made dang sure he was not going to come back. And we really, really tried hard to make him make them break up. Okay? And it was fun for the first couple times. Until I realized that what happened was they didn't break up. They just kept it a secret. Okay? Any case. I start off with that because passages like this, okay, especially verses 3 and 4, would be something that I would be, back in the day, I would use to say, ah, see, you dress too fancy. You are not good enough. Okay? Because if we're honest, like, Peter is specifically talking, in this context, talking about women. But we can also logically apply this general universal concept or fact to men also. And that's what I did, right? So, and this is the weird thing. So, if you dress too nice, I'd be like, you trying to buy God's love, you hopeless sinner, right? Bad, right? But then the funny thing is, if you, like, dress like a bum, then I'd be like, how dare you come into God's house dressed like a bum? You don't dress like that when you go to a history class, right? It's weird. I don't know. Pharisees, we got to pray for them. Anyway, this verse could be used by people like me to say, huh, you're going to dress a certain way. If you want God's love, you got to dress a certain way, you got to speak a certain way, and you got to act a certain way. You know, and I guess we can kind of make that argument if Peter just wrote verses 3 and 4, but the problem is he didn't. He wrote verses 1, 2, and 5 and 6, and the rest of the chapter. Okay? And so in context, we know that Peter's not saying that at all. What Peter is actually saying is, if we read carefully, he's saying dressing up nice, and he's not actually even talking about Sunday service, he's just talking about life. Okay? And Peter's saying this, you can dress up nice and that's fine. You know, some ladies like to dress up nice. That's cool. But he's saying more than that, what about your heart? Right? Peter's saying, yo, you can put up all the nice makeup and all the nice hair stuff and all the nice clothes that you want. In modern day American society, you can drive and say and do all the right things. You can have the right job. You can have the right friends. You can drive the right car. But what's going on inside? Right? So if on the outside it looks, everything looks cool, but on the inside there's death. Jesus was a good trash talker. I'm a firm believer in biblical trash talking, and we can talk. If you have questions, you can talk about that after service. Jesus was a master, right? Because Jesus does all things well, even trash talking, right? You know, he's at the Pharisees. He said, "You are whitewashed tombs." And you're like, "Oh, it's a Jesus word, whitewashed tombs. Yes, it's so holy." What does that mean? You know what that means? It literally means, right? Whitewashed tombs literally means really pretty graveyard. Like, that's 21st century modern American translation. Whitewashed tomb equals really pretty, nicely kept graveyard. And the Pharisees are like, "Say what? What you call me?" Right? And Jesus is like, "You're whitewashed tombs. Why? You know what that means? That means, like, on the outside it's all pretty, but guess what? On the inside, you got stinky dead people. Death. There's death. There's rotting. And there's worms and stuff." Right? And that's Peter. That's what he's trying to shoot for. Right? You can put all the pretty stuff on the outside all you want, but that's just an ornament. Because especially if there's nothing going on inside, if there's death on the inside, right? And so Peter is trying to use contrast to say, hey, not to say that the external decorations and fancy stuff is bad. He's not saying that at all. He's saying that is what it is. You could use it, don't use it, whatever. That's up to you. However. What's going on the inside? If you're going to put all these decorations on yourself on the outside, what's going on the inside? And so what Peter's saying is the real beauty product should be applied mostly for your insides, for our character. Right? And as someone that has been teaching Bible study and being in front of people in a leadership position since 1998. Some of you guys are like, "Holy, I was a zygote at 1998. Yeah, well, you know, deal with it. All right. I gotta tell you, man. There's a lot of verses in the Bible that talks about guys having character. You know, guys, you gotta be like strong. You gotta be humble and blah blah blah. But there's very few passages where we talk about how women have to be. The biblical concept of women and their character and what it's supposed to look like, except Proverbs 31. But usually it's just, we use that, like Pharisees, we use that as a ruler for women. Say, hey, Proverbs 31 says this, you must wake up at 4 o'clock and you must take care of all your business before your man wakes up. And if you don't do it, you're not a good woman. It's bad, okay? Don't listen to it, all right? But, you know, honestly, other than that passage, we always focus on the man. You know what? This time, we got to take it to the women too. Ladies, you guys aren't off the hook. When God says, hey, have my character, be like me, right? He's also talking to the women. And here's another example. And here's the crazy thing. Your godly character, ladies, your godly character is more beautiful to God than any expensive clothes or any fancy hairdo, any of that. Your character. What is character? Well, we're going to talk about some specifics. But in general, character, my pastor, when I was in youth group, used to say this. He said, character is who you are when no one else is looking. Character is who you are when no one else is looking. This is why I say to the older guys when we're together, I kind of challenge them and say, you know, you're a leader. And some of the older guys, they don't like it when I say that. They kind of look at me like, what? And I say, you're a leader because, you know, you're going to lead by your actions. You know, you're going to show your character. And people are watching. Young people are watching. And even when you don't know that they're watching. They're listening very carefully. You know, and they're looking for your character. Right? And so that's what I'm saying. Character is who you are when no one else is watching, or when you think no one else is watching. Right? And so ladies, God says your character is more precious and more beautiful to Him than any external clothing. Right? This is not to say, again, this is not, don't take this as a license to be me saying, hey, you can dress like a bum to church. Please don't dress like a bum to church. You know, it's just respect. You know what I mean? Like when you go meet the president, you're not going to dress like a bum to meet the president. You know, in the same way, you're going to come and meet with the people of God and meet the King of the universe. You're going to have to dress a little bit. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, right? And I leave this point with a little excerpt that I read from, there's a little awesome book I found at Target or Walmart. It's called Children's Prayers to God. I don't know who did this, but somebody apparently just took a bunch of prayers that little kids wrote all over the country and just made it into a book. And there's a whole bunch of them, really cute. But there's this one little thing that this little girl wrote, and she said, "Dear God, I got a new dress. If you look carefully, I'll wear it for you tomorrow at church." Okay? Just that concept, okay? So the second point, sorry, biblical precedent. Okay, biblical precedent. All right, what does that mean? This is a very important concept for everybody to hear. Biblical precedent. The Westminster Confession of Faith, we started it last year. Westminster Confession of Faith says that the Bible is our rule of faith and life, meaning all of our faith, everything that has to do with faith and life, which actually if you're a Christ follower, that's like everything, right? Bible dictates it. Tells you what to do, what not to do. Though the Bible doesn't tell you specific exact things in every possible scenario, it does, however, set very clear principles and guiding points. Okay? So, for example, when the Bible says, do not kill, you go, that's pretty easy. You shouldn't kill people. Okay? But it also says, don't hate people. And then you go, well, what if, like, Joseph, like, tripped me? And I think he did it on purpose. Like, can I still hate him? No, you can't hate him. The Bible just said, don't hate people. Okay? So, the Bible is our rule of faith and life. Okay? And so everything that we do as a people of God, God has already, because He is our King, He has the right to say, this is how I want you to live your life. Okay? And so, as our Father and as King, He has that right. Okay, so now where are we getting at? Biblical precedent. So, Peter says, women, ladies, be more than the outside stuff that you wear, be all about the woman that you are on the inside. Be about the woman that you are instead of the stuff that you wear. Okay, be about the woman you are on the inside in your character more than the label that you wear or the label that you drive. Okay, and so he uses the biblical precedent of Sarah in Genesis chapter 18, verse 12. Okay, and biblical precedent just simply means this: the Bible says to do something, whether it's explicit like do this or don't do this, or whether it's an implicit thing like don't hate Joseph even if he trips you by accident. Okay, the biblical precedent is a thing where the Bible shows you an example of that occurring, okay? And that's important, okay? And so Peter says, hi, hey guys, you again, this is Peter writing to people who grew up in a Jewish culture, so they grew up listening to stories about Abraham and Sarah ever since they're little kids, so they know this, okay? They know this by memory, they know it by heart, okay? And so when Peter says, remember Sarah, okay? And if we read the book of John, we know that in Jewish culture, especially Orthodox Jewish culture, two people very, very important: Abraham and Moses. Abraham and Moses. Okay, remember, because Jesus, when he's like talking with the Jewish people in his day, they're like, "Hey, we don't need you. What are you just saying? We are children of Abraham, right?" So Abraham, a very important guy. And so Peter is kind of tapping into that and saying, "Hey guys, remember Sarah? She did the same thing. She set the tone. She set the standard. She was the first one to do it. She didn't care about what stuff she was wearing, what stuff she had, what stuff she didn't have. She was about being a woman of character. a woman of godly character, a biblical precedent. And that's important. That's important, right? And we're gonna have a little testimony time, right? Because I like doing that, because show y'all how messed up I am. And so hopefully you guys go home and go, hey, if God can do something in that guy, he can do something in me, okay? And so, little way of testimony, a lot of people don't know, well, some people I guess in this room don't know, I have a second job, and it's going to be on the internet now, so everyone's going to know, or people who care, okay? I have a second job working for a contractor for FedEx Ground. I have been doing this off and on since like 2007, really long time, and this thing completely died. Okay, here we go. 2007-ish, about. And it was a source of shame and anger and resentment and frustration. Straight up. Didn't want it, didn't like it, had to do it. Why? Pay bills. Because living in Northern Virginia is expensive, right? Especially when you get a wife, and then you get a little monster who eats like crazy. Yo, you gotta pay the bills, right? Little kid, he drinks milk like fish drink water. I think he drinks more, right? It's expensive, man. Milk is not cheap. Anyway, you know, and I hated it. And the previous two churches I served at, I didn't even tell them. I kept it a secret because it was my shame. In fact, there was only just a handful of people that knew about it, outside of family, actually. And it was a big struggle up until maybe about last year or so, last fall, about. And I was really, and I would literally, for since 2007, if you can imagine this, since 2007, you know the part where Paul, there's a part in the Bible where Paul says, oh God, there's a thorn in my flesh. He doesn't talk about exactly what it is, right? But I literally think it was about FedEx, right? About we're stupid people. Whatever, you can fill in the blank. You can put all kinds of ridiculous things. Anyway, that's what I thought. So if Paul were here, he'd understand my pain, right? Because Paul, he prayed to God, oh God, take this away from me. Like really, this is just not good for me. It was really, like it's toxic, you know? That's what I felt. And you know, so I literally prayed every day since 2007, oh dear God, take this thing away from me. Because I am pretty sure that the devil made FedEx when he got kicked out of heaven, and he did it in anger to mess people up on earth, okay? He did that, you know? And I hated it, I really did, until about last year. And the breakthrough was actually a lot of different variables, but at least for our time purposes here, it was a biblical precedent that made a big, huge difference. Because for me, I don't ever want to do anything that goes clearly against the Bible, and trust me, I searched from Genesis to Revelations to prove that FedEx is not in God's will, but I couldn't find one. Anyway, and so I was fighting, like, oh dear God, I hate this, this is so bad, this is not good for me, and all that stuff. And then one day I was praying and God showed me Acts chapter 18, 1 through 3. And what you have there is Paul in his missionary journey of planting churches in different cities. I believe he goes to it's either Corinth or Ephesus, where he is trying to plant a church. And what Paul would usually do is he would go plant a church, and the members of the church would give offering, and that would help to pay for the different fees, like the meeting place, and also for Paul to live, like eat food and whatever, and get groceries. However, at this particular location, he couldn't do that for whatever reason. Like the people just didn't have the financial capital or whatever, economic whatever. And so what he did was he went to work. He found a job. He made tents. Right? He became friends with a couple who were in the business of tent making, and he joined them. Made tents with them. And you know, that was a big like aha, like slap in the face all at once. Because God was saying, hey, see, look, there's a biblical precedence. It's not pretty, it's not sexy, it's not ideal. However, I've provided this for you so that you can stay and serve and love Risen Son and still pay the bills. Right? That was it. Because God would keep saying that, and I was like, but I don't know. I just feel like in my soul, this is an evil, sinful thing that I do. And God finally showed me Acts chapter 18. He said, no. No, it's not evil. Paul did it too. I gotta admit, man, when that happened, first of all, I was like, oh, man. Second of all, I was like, man, I really like Paul now. Because he I feel like this guy really understands my pain. You know, he feels my pain. You know, trying to juggle church and ministry and loving God's people, and at the same time having to have another job to pay the bills, right? He understands that pain. So biblical precedent is a very, very important big deal. Like I said, because the Bible, while it does cover all of life, it won't tell you exactly what to do in every possible scenario. However, God has dealt with many countless people with a lot of different flaws and strengths, and they've all been in a lot of different various scenarios. And I guarantee you, if you've gone through something and you're like, oh man, there's nothing in the Bible that covers this, trust me, there is someone that went through something like that, at least similar, you know? And so there is a biblical precedent, and the Bible will show you what you're supposed to do in that scenario, okay? And so bringing it back to the passage, Sarah, okay, Peter's saying, Sarah, for the ladies, hey, this is not something new that I'm telling you guys. This is actually something old. Why? Because it's a biblical precedent. Sarah did it. Great and high and mighty Sarah, right? And so that leads us to the third lesson, without fear. Okay, and that's from verse 6. Specifically the last phrase where it says, if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Again, let's not look at the word if as just a simple English understanding of the word if, mainly because Peter didn't write this in English, he wrote it in Greek. Okay, for some of you guys are like, what? Okay. He wrote it in Greek, okay? And Greek is a very fluid language, and it's not always easy to translate from Greek to English, okay? So all that just to say, the word if in Greek sometimes functions a lot different from the English use of the word if, okay? And so what does that mean? It's this. Instead of looking at the word if as, you know, the English if, you should look at it more as since, okay? So verse 6 would say, since you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Oh, okay, that changes it a little bit. Since you do what is right. The question obviously should be, at least all the ladies, you know, if you were all being honest, would say, I don't always do what is right. I don't always do what is right. It's very true. Because you know what, ladies, as much as it pains me to say it, I know that ladies, you guys are as sinful as we, as men. Sort of. I mean, we're pretty good at sinning. But anyway, ladies, I know you guys, you know, sin as much as we do. So then, if that's true, then how does Peter say this? Well, this phrase, and even this whole passage, doesn't really make sense apart from Christ. Right? Because in Christ, we have freedom from sin. And what that means is this. When we talk about Jesus on the cross freed us from sin, it also means Jesus freed us from the bondage of sin and all the stuff that's related to sin, like guilt and self-trying and self-help. He freed us from all of that. Okay, and so what that means is this. We can read this as saying, if I don't wear nice stuff and I'm go to church and I'm a good Christian church girl, then God will be pleased with me. If I do all the right things, God will be pleased with me. No, when Jesus died, he took all of that away. He took that idea away. Now, we have a pretty good way of bringing that back on ourselves. But no, that's not what Peter is saying. He's saying, hey, check this out. God freed you from that. God freed you from your sins, and God freed you from trying to earn your way. Ladies, there's nothing you can ever wear that would ever earn God's love. There's nothing that you can say or drive or do that will ever earn God's love. You receive God's love, period, because of Jesus, period. Nothing else follows, right? And because of that, you do what is right. You see, because apart from Christ, the Bible becomes a list of impossible commands and requirements that none of us can meet. But in Christ, then, we are now freed, and the Bible goes from a hammer to a guideline. It goes from an impossible set of rules to, as a child of God, this is what I'm supposed to live like. This is what I'm supposed to do. And so, what the Bible says is, in Christ, ladies, even when you make mistakes, God doesn't see that. He forgets about it. Because he already dealt with that on the cross. And so that's why Peter can say, since you do what is right. Because according to God's sight, you guys do what is right. You guys do what is right. It doesn't mean he's stupid. It doesn't mean he doesn't see the mistakes that you guys make. But what it is saying is, God sees it and he forgets about it. Because it's useless to him. Your sins are useless to God in Christ. And so since he doesn't look at your sins, he looks at only the good things. And he sees what you do correctly. And so you obey without any fear. That's how you obey. When we realize who we are in God through Christ, that frees us to obey without any kind of fear. Because you can obey God, and you can love people, like messed up people, and you can even actually... I'm probably going to get in trouble saying this, but you can even sin and sin boldly, in the words of Martin Luther. Church history precedent, okay? Somebody else said it first. I didn't say it first, so I'm okay. I'm off the hook, okay? Martin Luther, right? The great German pastor, drank a lot of beer, right? he once said, sin boldly. Why? Because God loves us so much. And again, this is not giving you a license to go and sin. But when you are freed in Christ, there's no fear. And so we are now free to obey. Right? Obey and love and submit and be humble. The only reason why we don't do any of those things is because we're afraid that if we love too much, then that person will come back and hurt us. The only reason why we're afraid of being humble is because we're afraid of looking weak and people screwing us over. Right? All of those things. The only reason why we don't want to submit is because we want to be right. I want to be correct all the time. I want to be looked at as brilliant all the time. Right? But in Christ, I don't have that anymore. So I can honestly, and for the old people, they could tell all you young people, man, this is like what I've been talking about for like the last 6 months, being free in Christ. Only in Christ I can share my struggles, my deficiencies. Like I can tell Elliot all this stuff. And Elliot can look down on me and hate on me and God will crush him like a bug. But it's okay because you know what? For me, I'm free. And I can love and I can love and have that relationship with Elliot. Right, because of Christ. And so, in wrapping up, real beauty products. Okay, again, this is for men too. Okay, guys, let's be gentlemen. When we come to church, let's dress like gentlemen. Let's not dress like bums off the streets. Okay, I don't want to see people wearing jammers or boxers. Okay, don't be rolling up in God's house with your boxers, man. Okay, that's just rude. Okay, like if you roll up in my house with boxers, you're not going to come in. All right. But real beauty products, like more than the stuff that we wear or don't wear, let's be about the people that we are inside, right? And especially if we have met God And one thing we know about from the Bible is that when you meet God, you change. You can't walk away from God without being changed in some way. Right? And so if we have been changed by God and we have seen Him with our hearts, right? More than the stuff we've heard, let's be about the people that we are. Right? Based on the biblical precedent, and we do this without fear. Let's pray.